What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to the latest episode of our 12 p.m. Sunday Experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
So we thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts that are willing and say, yes, Lord. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, one more time. Say, yes, Lord. Yes. Elder John, thank you so much for throwing this alley-oop for this morning. Absolutely. He killed it this morning at 9 a.m. service, and he threw me an alley-oop, so I hope I do justice for what you have done. If you missed this morning, which you did, some of you may have missed, go and check it out on the app, because I can't recap his message. So I can't help you about this morning. And then I told him back in the back, he will be doing next Sunday morning as well. Amen. Also told Pastor Dylan back there, I said, get ready. Your first sermon is coming, sir. Your first sermon is coming. Amen. Amen. And so stay ready. You never know when that time is. Really quickly, we're going to start this series, sub-series. We're in a series called The Power Rangers. And I believe in this time, there's a lot of things we need to understand where the true power lies. We need to understand what we have available to us and not turn to the government for answers and for weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. And guess what? As long as you are living in this earth, there's going to be a posture of fight that you're going to have to remain in. Okay? And so he may not be able to hit your house, but he can come close to your house. He can help. He can impact your cousins. He can touch your job. He can touch your coworkers. So your children may be protected, but he can hit some of your friends' children. And if you got true relationship, it'll hurt you. You'll have to now be there for people. Now you have to share time with people. The enemy knows how to begin to just tap on the Achilles heel of your faith. Right? And that's what we dealt with last night, is the attack against our helmet. What? The helmet of our salvation, our mind. Okay? And so right alongside of prayer, we're going to deal with our mind, and we're going to deal with warfare. We're going to deal with warfare, because I believe warfare, when you yell out, it's harvest time. Say, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. Absolutely it is. But another word for harvest time is warfare season. What do you think the locust is? The canker worm. They come for fruit. And so, and I don't believe that warfare is every day. I just believe life is every day. But the stuff we call warfare is not warfare. Your tire going on flat is not warfare. You just need a new tire. And to keep it real, you knew it was a leak in it 2 weeks ago. That's not warfare. That's just life. Say life. Right? And you, the devil is not, stop giving the devil credit. And stop blaming the devil for what your flesh is doing. Warfare is seasonal. And what you have to understand is God is so loving, he is so fair, he gives us time to prepare for seasons of warfare. Because warfare is, it takes planning, it takes intentionality, it takes strategy. Bible tells us that. Today we're dealing with the power of prayer. I will tell you, this is the first time that LoveQuest has ever taught about prayer in a series. We taught about it in prayer, our prayer time. We've taught about it in places, but on a Sunday, we've never done a series on prayer, but we have taught about it. Don't think we're a church that don't talk about prayer. We talk about prayer all the time. But I believe that it's very intentional in why we're dealing with prayer. I believe one reason why we're being called to a higher level of prayer is because it's harvest time. Number two, I believe it is a season of warfare. And number three, I do believe we're in the bursting, and God has some abounding favor, some things to release in our lives. And I'm realizing more and more, it will never happen without prayer. There's some things you can get by working hard, and there's other things you only gonna get by prayer. Amen. And if we're gonna take a city for Jesus, it ain't gonna come by working hard. It's gonna come by prayer and strategy in Jesus' name. I think the challenge with some of us, and Elder John, you did such a great job this morning with it, explaining the urgency and why we need to pray. The why. Say why. The vitalness or the essentialness of having to pray. The question you asked, it was so powerful. Do you look at prayer? I guess I'm recapping a little bit. Do you look at prayer like you look at a drink of water? Or do you look at prayer like you look at air? Do you need prayer as you need a drink of water, or do you need prayer as you need air? And so for now on, I am going to start spelling prayer. I didn't do it here. P-R-A-I-R. Hey. Amen. Because the issue is we treated prayer as though, you know, a lot of people don't drink water. We treated prayer like water versus we actually need prayer to breathe as a believer. We need prayer to keep going, and we need prayer to survive. Say the power of prayer. And another thing I thought about is, why don't we pray? One of the major reasons why people don't pray is because we are afraid of disappointment. If I pray and it don't change, if I pray and it don't happen, if I pray and they don't get well, if I pray and they don't get the job, we will not pray to save private embarrassment. See, because prayer is private anyway. Although you pray publicly, when you're praying for a job, it's not necessary you going to most of the time come up to the altar and ask everybody to pray for you. It's normally, God, I need this job. It's an internal prayer. And even the things that we pray privately, it's crazy. We're afraid to pray when God already knows what we need. He just trying to get you to vocalize and then pray properly. And so most people are afraid to pray because they're afraid of disappointment. And that's why we always say, well, if it's your will. Over the next few weeks, you'll understand when it says your will be done, why that is. Your will being done is a type of prayer. A prayer of faith is never says if. Your will has to do with his purpose for you. But if he's already let you know his will, you don't need to say if, or if it's your will. And the other thing we need to realize is that prayer is a universal language, just like music is. Now, not the whole universe likes hip hop, but the whole universe loves music. And not everybody in the world pray to the same God. But everybody pray to somebody. And when you understand prayer, everyone prays. Whether you're intending to or not, everyone prays. That's why when we do our prayer for peace, I'm reaching out to cross denomination, cross faith. It don't matter. Everyone wants love and peace in this world. So we can, doesn't matter what your denomination is, guess what we can come together and pray about? Love and peace. The whole world prays. Every single religion has a form of prayer, which lets you know you can't live without praying. But there's something about being intentional about praying. The power of prayer. Say it one more time. Sometimes I got to look at my iPad because I could just keep talking. Ephesians 6. We mentioned this scripture last night when it came to the helmet of salvation, but we'll go here. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance. Like a helmet to protect your thoughts from what? Lies. Lies impact your prayer life. And take the mighty razor, sharp spirit, sword of the spoken word of God. Pray passionately in the spirit as you constantly intercede with every form of prayer at all times. So we see a few things here. We see praying passionately, but what I want to point out is it says to pray always, never ceasing, all occasions pray. And number two, it says that we should pray all kinds of prayers. There's multiple prayers, and maybe you wouldn't mind praying if you switched up your prayer life in some way. There's intercession. There's the prayer of faith. There's the prayer of consecration. Supplication. When I look up supplication, it says passion. When you look up supplication, it's the same thing as fervent. So not only is there types of prayers, there's attitude of prayers. And when we approach prayer with the same attitude and the same kind of prayer, always about us. And when we pray for somebody, it's that God changed them for us. It say, pray the blessing of God upon all his believers. Pray anytime there's an opportunity. That's what he's saying, the scripture saying. Pray anytime there's an opportunity. Pray anytime there's an opportunity. Anytime there's an opportunity, how many opportunities you got to pray? All the time. There's always an opportunity to pray. No matter where we are or what we are doing, the Lord asks us to what? Pray. Pray every occasion, every season, and every possible moment. I'll say it again. Pray every occasion, every season, every possible moment. Pray every occasion, every season, every possible moment. This lets me know that our prayer walk does not always have to consist of a delegated time slot. And if you can get out of your mind that you got to give God time instead of creating space for God, you will have a successful prayer life. God wants space more than he wants your time. An hour to God. What's an hour to God? He's not trapped by time. He's not on a 24/7 time clock. He just needs space. He wants to move. When I look at every occasion, every season, every possible moment, pray without ceasing, I can't pull over. I'm on my way to work. I can't always close my eyes. And if I'm in a conversation and I need to pray for somebody, the Spirit say, pray for them. I'm not going to interrupt the conversation. I can pray while they're talking. And I'm not going to be rude and pray audibly while they're talking. No, go ahead, keep talking. In Jesus' name, I just pray right now that demon come up out of you. No. You just begin to pray. You meditate. That's why you put the word in you. Here you go. You can pray without moving your mouth when you put the word inside of you. Why? Because the Spirit begins to intercede for you and pray for you and pray through you. But if you never put the word in you, the Bible says that the word is the Spirit's wield. He wields. It's the sword he uses in your life. So sometimes you don't know how to pray, what to say, and you don't feel like it. But all of a sudden you'll hear yourself praying in your spirit. But it's really the Holy Spirit praying. These yearnings, these deep things that you don't have words to utter. Prayer is an open-ended conversation. Talk to me. God wouldn't be mad if you didn't end your prayer sometimes with amen. It's open-ended. You're always talking. You might go to sleep, but guess what? He didn't go to sleep. You might have closed the door, but guess what? He didn't close the door. You might have stopped moving your mouth, but trust me, he ain't stopped moving his mouth. The Lord is always talking. It's an open-ended conversation. You go to sleep, he like, all right, good night, I'm protecting you. You wake up, hey, how you doing? You abandon the course, guess what? He's still there waiting for you. Now you ready to go? It's open-ended. God been saying the same thing about me before I was formed in my mama's womb. He been talking about you for a long time. Amen. Say open-ended. Now see, as humans, we hate open-ended conversations. Either we want people to shut up, or people want us to shut up, or we gotta have some. What that mean? We gotta have understanding. We gotta know what it mean, where we going, how we going, how we getting there, how we getting in, how much it's gonna cost, how hot it's gonna be, how cold it's gonna be, how many layers I need to wear, how far is it? We don't like open-ended. We need to know right now. Say right now. The power of prayer is activated by faith. I stole it, and then I'm going to ask, add something to it. The power of prayer is activated by faith and is motivated by love. If you want to have powerful prayers, be motivated by love. And sometimes God is calling you to prayer about something that ain't got nothing to do with you. Them boring prayers right there. No. The power of prayer is activated by what? Faith. Come on, the power of prayer is activated by what? Faith, but motivated by what? Love. The greatest activation is faith, and the greatest motivation is what? Love. Prayer is the language of eternity. Prayer is not optional for one serious about their Christian life. No moonwalk on that one. Hey. Prayer is not what? Optional. It's not an option. You never have to ask God, do you need me to pray? Prayer is not optional for one serious. If you serious about your faith walk, it's not an option. Matthew 6 says, when you pray, you notice how it start off, when you pray, whenever you decide to pray, if you gonna pray, there's no need to repeat empty phrases. Empty phrases don't mean that you don't use words. Empty phrases mean you're using vain words. And a lot of times vain words are backed by emotions. It's no reason for you to try to sound like Michael. Give him about 15 minutes because he dozing. He dozing. He good. Amen. Amen. It's no reason to say a bunch of words. I remember when I was younger, there was people that I would watch pray and they would have like decent sized pauses in between. I'm like, and then they'll keep going. I'm like, ah. They're listening. So when they talk, they're efficient. But when we pray, we think we got to fill up space. And when we run out of words, we think we finished prayer. Can God get a chance to talk back? He just wake up. Shower time. And then we turn on Lil Bootsy. He says praying like those who don't know God. A lot of times our prayers are full of words because we don't know God. Why do you need a prayer with full of words when he is the word? You're not impressing him. I'm not impressing him. What we need to believe for is that we will be accurate communicators for heaven. Say, I am an accurate communicator from heaven for heaven. For they expect God to hear them because of their many words. got to break a sweat in this prayer. And then you could tell when people during corporate prayer are trying to show they show out. Prayer is always meant to produce. I would much rather somebody turn to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for boom. And there's a word that God gives and they say, amen. You know that sometime when I'm closing out, sometime I'm like, Father, in the name of Jesus, bless them. Amen. Because sometime he's like, son, the whole service was a prayer. You've been declaring. You've been singing a song. Why we got to end it with it? I'm not listening no more. That's sometimes we pray for us. For our pleasure and to prove to people that we Christians. There's no need to imitate them since your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Wow. He already knows what you need. And check it out. There's some things that he's calling you to pray for that he put on your heart. He knows what you're about to say. He just needs you as a vessel to release his word on earth as it is what? In heaven. He said, pray like this. Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your what? Name be the center on which our lives turn. I want you to see this. Jesus says, this is how you ought to pray. Listen, when you pray, you don't just say the Lord's Prayer. It's a outline of how to pray. The first thing you do when you approach God is what? Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms. Do not approach God with your earthly understanding or feelings. You're talking to a heavenly God, and your prayer life is to penetrate the spirit realm. Your prayer life is not to make Effie leave you alone. You guys got to understand this. There's something behind Effie. Right? And so you have to understand, you're talking to a God who is the Lord of the heavens. Amen. And he says, may the glory of your what? Name. If you don't know him, it's very hard to produce power in your prayer life. He said, the first thing you do when you approach the Father is call on his name. Oh, but this is strategic. It's not just to exhort him. He says to call on his name, and look at what it says. First of all, we must believe he is. You use the scripture Hebrews. Hebrews 6, 11, is that first when someone approach God, they should be diligent, but they should know he is. You must know he is. So if I tie this together with the next scripture, it says, to our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy what? Name. Why am I going to acknowledge who he is before I ask him for what he can give? It says, in verse 6, manifest your kingdom realm. This is the next verse. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is fulfilled in heaven. So everything that I'm coming to ask God about is already given. My prayer is not asking him to create something new. It's asking him to manifest it. Now, let me go back to this point I'm making. We are not coming to God asking for something. We're coming to him because he is the something. Let me park there for a few seconds. We're not coming to God asking for peace. We're coming to God because he is peace. Therefore, if I approach him when I'm praying based on who he is, by the time I get to the rest of my prayer, I'm not begging. I'm not asking. I've already set the platform. Now I'm thanking him for manifesting. The second thing Jesus says do is, Lord, manifest on earth as it is in heaven. So the first thing I'm coming, Lord, you are my provider. Lord, you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, you are a way maker. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are, and I thank you. So now once I've done all of that, there's no need for me to ask him because I told him he is. So I thank you for being X, Y, and Z in my life. I thank you that because you are a provider, all of my needs are met. I'm out of debt and I have plenty to put in store. I thank you because you are Jehovah Rapha. I am the healed and not the sick. God, please help me. If you want me whole, Lord, make me whole like that lady in the Bible who was bleeding forever. That's not sonship. What do you mean, if you want me whole? Whole is his will. Approach him, calling him who he is. Prayer has to be purpose driven. I understand that prayer is a hard topic to talk about and listen to because it's like trying to pump yourself up to go to the gym. Or cook kale. Right? It's not the most, you know it's good for you, but you like, man, oh, really? I gotta do this. Prayer has to be purpose-driven. Purpose-driven. Are you ready for this? Emotional prayers can kill devotion. All right, we're gonna get cracking here. Emotional prayer can kill devotion. A heart of devotion is a posture of sonship. Emotion is required for power-producing prayers. I know you're like, I'm gonna show you something. There is a difference between emotionalism or being emotional and having emotions. Emotion is required for power producing prayers. Emotion must be rooted in faith. My emotions must be rooted in faith. When your emotions is rooted in faith, you're not emotional. You just have an emotion towards a thing. Your emotions aren't up and down and all over the place. Being emotional is being unstable in your emotions. Having emotions is a gift from God. Here's James 1. Just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith. He said, if you need wisdom, ask God. Pray, he'll give it to you. But just make sure you ask empowered by confident faith. Without what? Doubting. What does doubting come? It comes from being emotional. Yeah. That you will, without doubting, that you will what? Receive. For the ambivalent person believes 1 minute and doubts the next. Emotional. It's how you feel. Ambivalent is having mixed feelings or contradictory ideas about something or someone. Shikabah. When you pray to God, do you have mixed feelings about if he can answer? Are you firm that he will come through? Are you firm that he will turn this situation around? Are you firm in believing that he does want Vancouver to be a city on fire for him? Are you firm that that healing is yours? Are you firm that poverty is not the last place you'll be found? Are you firm? What is your emotions? Are they up? Are they down? Are you pumped up to talk to God? Do you believe he's a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper today? But then tomorrow, when you're being attacked, you're wondering. Do you act like he's a way maker? Amen. Being undecided makes you become, James 1 continuing, being undecided makes you become like the rough seas driven and tossed by the wind. emotional, being undecided. You're up 1 minute and tossed down the next. Being what? Emotional. Nothing wrong with having emotions. Jesus had emotions. Jesus what? Wept. Jesus was moved with what? Compassion. But his emotion had a target. He wasn't just tossed to and fro. When you are half-hearted and wavering, it leaves you unstable. Here's what the word says. Can you really expect to receive anything from the Lord when you're in that condition? I believe one day. You ever make your mind up about doing something and then 5 days later you like, man, should I have done that? Oh, y'all live, y'all woke. Yo, check your post. You good? All right. Yeah. I've been emotional. I've been up and I've been down. You can leave a service that pumped you up and then you walk outside, get in the car, wrong conversation, wrong text, wrong person look at you funny, food take too long afterwards, and you blame it on being hangry. How many times has a lack of food been the reason why you done lost your religion? Right? Up, down. What does food have to do with it? What did food have to do with Jesus being tried? There's something about fasting. There's something about disciplining your body. And there's something that happens when you don't eat physically that taps into your emotions. But the Lord says, look, with my spirit. That's why we fast as much as we do. It's because we are starving our flesh and buffing up our spirit, man. So in the day of testing, we don't respond out of what? Emotions. Because it's good you prayed, it's good that you sowed, it's good that you're singing, but if your emotions is up and down, what you're believing for could be abruptly interrupted. Here we go. Earlier we read in the scripture where it says, when you're in that condition. You remember that in James 1? When you're in that condition, say that condition. In other words, when you're in that frame of mind. Follow me. Love is a prerequisite for effective prayer. What's a prerequisite? Love. One more time. What's a prerequisite? Love. Love is not a prerequisite to pray. It's a prerequisite to get results. Effective prayer. As Elder John so eloquently expressed earlier, it wasn't just, see when those gentlemen, the apostles, prayed for that young man to get up and be healed, it wasn't just that they prayed and said, be healed and walked away. It was also their faith that activated something. And it said they reached out. He saw their faith and their faith caused him to have expectancy and turn away from what he had been focused on for years. He had been put at the gate for years to beg. So every day he was dropped off as a reminder that you are a beggar. And here comes one group of people that says, look, there's something I'm not giving you today, but there's something greater I'm going to give you today. And they say, get up in the name of who? Jesus. And it was their faith mixed with his expectation. And so you got to understand, when you are praying, it is very important that your heart is right. Your little attitude. Prayer is meant to produce, Caleb. It's meant to produce. Amen. For prayer to produce, it requires participation. Number one, it requires your legs, it requires your mouth, it requires your hands, it requires your heart, it requires you. Hey, Lord, send the laborers into the harvest field. Good. Now you got to be a laborer if you want one. Jesus didn't ask us to just carry our cross every day. Guess what he did? He carried his first. You're praying for people to be healed, but are you receiving the healing yourself? You want people to encounter and experience Jesus, but are you walking in your full salvation, as scripture said? Are you walking in your freedom? Are you walking in your healing? Are you delivered from your anger? Right? The reason why those apostles could say, get up, is because they received get up. James 5. Are there any believers in your fellowship suffering great hardship and distress? Yes. Are there any believers in your fellowship that are suffering great hardship or distress? Yes. Encourage them to pray. I love this, Elder John. What'd you notice here? He didn't say go pray for them. He said just go encourage them to pray. Somebody come to you, hey, pastor, can you, I'm going through something. And you have a right based on scripture. Well, you should pray then. I encourage you to pray. And I'll pray with you. It's hard to pray with people that don't want to pray for themselves. Are there any believers? He said, yeah, well, if they're distressed, encourage them to pray. I love this part. Are there any happy, cheerful ones among you? Hold on, here we go. Encourage them to sing. Encourage them to sing out there what? Praises. You see this combination that's happening for results. Are there any sick among you? Then ask the elders of the church to come and pray over the sick and what? Anoint them with oil in the name of our Lord. Say the name. It's all about the what? Name. We're coming in the name. I don't have no power to deliver you. But guess what? I come in the what? Name. Representing him. Representing him. An ambassador. As we've been talking about the power of the name of Jesus. I am coming in the name. He gave us his what? Name. So I don't need to come to the throne of grace scared. I come what? Bold, because I'm not coming as Terrence. I'm coming in the name of Jesus. So he says, encourage the happy people to sing. That's why I don't understand when after church you super happy, before church you super happy, and during worship you look sad. The Bible says happy people should what? Sing. Why? Because you have to release happy in the atmosphere. Don't be selfish happy. Don't withhold happy. You know how many people that are sick among you, distressed and discouraged? Why you think that happy people are sandwiched in between distressed and sick people? Because when you release happy, it jumps on distressed and sick. Right? Singing is a form of what? Prayer. And so when you shut your mouth during church, guess what? You holding back your portion. We need your portion. What if you woke up in the morning and two toes didn't work? For no reason, though. Both big toes didn't work. Doing a stanky leg, that's what you'll be doing. That's when you need swag, is when your toes don't work. Walk and work like this. Hey, and just let them know I'm happy. Encourage them to sing. Encourage them to sing praises. Sing out your praises. Share the glory that you're experiencing. And then if anyone be sick among you, call the elders and pray. Look, and pray. But it also says anoint them with what? Oil that's been what? Prayed over. Not just go get some Crisco, go get some canola oil. Folks grab anything greasy and call it anointed. Go get that baby oil, that Johnson & Johnson baby oil. Crisco, huh? Don't too many people know about Crisco. Amen. Crisco, you use Crisco for your hair too if you ran out of grease. put that Crisco on your legs. Amen. Some of y'all don't know about ashy. When you this complexion, ashy show up real well. Yes. I've been trained well. Put that armor all on that skin. And look what it says. Call the elders. Anoint them who are sick with what? Oil in the name of our what? Lord. And the prayer of what? Faith. The prayer of what? Faith. The prayer of what? Faith. Not the prayer of if, but the prayer of what? Faith. We'll heal the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. Oh, Shaka Khan. Shaka Khan. You mean to tell me, Michael, that someone else can sin, but the entrusted authority that's on the believer praying the prayer of faith can cause one to be forgiven? You know you can go to people, to go to God on people's behalf. You know, you need to get your life right. No, you need to pray for them, stand in the gap for them. And God is protecting them on your behalf. They on your insurance plan. Yes. Instead of being mad at somebody, sin and pray for them and understand and stop condemning them and pray for them. How you think you here? Grandmama, somebody prayed for you while you was out there shaking it. You wasn't in the club asking for forgiveness. You wasn't popping Molly's at. You wasn't smoking weed asking for forgiveness. But guess what? The prayers of the righteous, the elders, the grandmamas, the saved folks, the saints prayed for you. And their prayers is what covered your life. Uncle Willie here over how many years? Over 30 years sober. Over 30 years sober, because while he was out there smoking crack, guess what? Somebody, God wasn't looking at the crack. He was looking at the prayers. We the ones looking at the heroin addict and looking at the crack and looking at people messing up. But God said, I just need somebody in the land that will pray for them. What? You spoke about the lightning. It's looking for a place to what? Ground. Can you stand as a sacrifice in your city and let the lightning hit you and stop wishing lightning hit somebody else? That's what prayer is. That's what worship is. I was looking at this thing over here. Now, Love Quest leaders, this look like trash. Okay? These antennas ain't supposed to go all over the place like this. Okay? But I'd still need to use it. Okay? This is what worship look like. Them your hands. And this thing right here is picking up a signal. This thing is picking up a signal so that all of us can be on Wi-Fi. There's one in the back. It's picking up a signal so we can stream to the world. Every time you lift your hands, every time you decide to stand in the gap, intercession is you intercepting that lightning so power can be released into the city. Oh, my God. That's why when we lift our hands, forget you. You lifting up lightning rods. If my pants wasn't too tight, I'll lift my hands high, but I got to, you know what I'm saying, security, amen, in Jesus' name. But I can go only about this high right now. But these lightning rods, every time you worship, you're intercepting power. And if you're an interceptor of power, you also are a releaser of power. Do I got any power interceptors and releasers in here? Amen. The prayer of faith will heal the sick and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. The prayer of faith is target practice. You don't pray the prayer of faith and be general. That's why I said, if anyone be sick, pray the prayer of what? Faith. The prayer of faith is what? Target practice. Say target practice. Amen. The prayer of faith is target practice. Mark 11. Let the faith of God be in you. Let the faith of who? God be what? In you. The faith of God is in you. When your faith is based on the word, then you have the faith of God inside of you. That's why faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing the word of God. He says, listen to the truth I speak to you. When Jesus say, listen, you should probably what? Listen. If someone says to this, remember, faith is what? Target practice. Say target practice. All right. If you don't remember nothing else, remember this. Faith is what? Target practice. Don't you ever pray the prayer of faith and be general. That's why you can't pray the prayer of faith and end it with if. You ever back in my broke days. You know, you go up to the cash register with all them groceries, hoping there's some money on the card. Or for all the wealthy people in here, you forget your wallet at home and you just realize it up there. And they ring, beep, how you doing? You just having a whole conversation. Oh my God, my kids start school today. I cannot wait. It's a beautiful day. We about to go to the beach and eat some of these pralines. And we about to eat some of these pumpkin seeds and kale. Yeah, I go to a church called Love Quest. And we're gonna eat this salad right here and some of these sardines. And man, I cannot wait. Yes, my daughter, she's 15. My son is 13. And my little son is 5. Yes, his mama trapped me for that last one. She trapped me for that last one. Amen. She set me up for that last one. Hallelujah. Beep, 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 beep. Oh. Right, you been there? On the phone checking the account. Should have checked the account in the parking lot before you came in. But you on that faith journey? You on that faith journey? And you start, you can go and put that back. I don't need that no more. I'm allergic to that. I don't even know why I got that. You can put you put that toilet paper back. My wife just called me and told me she just bought some. You can go. I'm glad it's a testimony in Jesus' name. You go and put that back. And you make all of these transactions just to delete it. You just spent 2 hours in the grocery store walking around, shopping, feeling good, got your favorite little cookies. Kept the cookies, put the toilet paper back. Amen. And you spent all that time praying. To end it with if. You spend all that time worshiping to go home on Monday and say if. You spend all that time sowing to approach God if. Man, you got to be all in. You got to be all the way in. Say all in. He says, if someone says to this mountain with great faith and having what? Gwen Stefani, no what? Doubt. Having no Gwen Stefani. Keep it lit, keep it lit, keep it lit. Says to this mountain with great faith and having what? No doubt. Mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the midst of the what? Sea. And what believes that what he or she says will happen, it will be what? Done. I want you to see something. I highlighted says to this because this means specific. This is pointing to something. He said, if you pray and have faith, and you speak to this. What is your this? In this season, what do you need to be praying for? If you listen in your prayer walk, you will know what to pray for, and you can pray very specifically, very efficiently, very intentionally, very direct. He says, if someone says to this mountain, what is the mountain? Don't just say move mountain. You got deep people that'll pick up snakes because he said we could pick up snakes. No, he says speak to the mountain and you go over to North Bend and start talking to the mountain. That's not what he's talking about. This mountain represents something in your life. Addiction, finances, whatever it may be, speak to that. And sometimes you got to discover what the root is. Speak to the root and not the fruit. Don't speak to the fruit of the stronghold. Speak to the what? Stronghold. Speak to this with what? Great faith. So in order to speak to it in great faith, you got to take the word in your prayer closet. Whatever you believe, if it's about finances, find every scripture that tells you that poverty is not for you. Take it into your prayer closet. Lack is not God's plan for me. If you believe in for wholeness and healing, take every scripture in your prayer closet with you. Why? Because that builds up what? Great faith. And you have what? No doubt. And it helps to have friends of faith because they'll help you have no doubt. When you're in the middle of the ring boxing, you need a coach in the corner. You don't need no soft-spoken coach. Because when the crowd is cheering because you're getting your head beat out, you need a coach that's, come on, you can do it. Remember what he said. Remember all the training. You can do it. You're more than a conqueror. Yeah, and then when that round is over, you got your butt whooped in the corner. They ain't like, dang, boy, look at your eye. What's wrong with you? Over there, that's okay. Remember what we practice. Remember, he's coming like this. He's tired. He's wearing himself out. He's throwing all his best punches in the second round. Man, if you just stay strong, he's throwing his best punches. He has nothing else for you. Just stand. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. You haven't even thrown your best shot yet. You can do it. Come on. You can do it. Let's go. You don't need people in the corner. Dang, bro, your eye big. You sure you want to keep going? He got you on that one. No, we're going to kick you out the house like Jesus kicked Jairus' family out the house. You got to get out while this miracles. And after the miracle, after she get up, then you can come back and join us. But sometimes you got to kick what? Gwen Stefani out the house. You got to kick them in that. No, we need Gwen Stefani in the house. Sorry, she's no doubt. My bad. See, Holy Spirit was like, no, don't misrepresent Gwen Stefani. The Holy Spirit loves Gwen Stefani too. Amen. You got to kick doubt out. And then I want you to see something else. He told us that there's a place we got to kick it out to. I don't know where you're going to go, but you got to get out of here. Look, even the pigs ask for a destination. I mean, the demons ask for a place to go. See, so even if the word, you can go, we cast you out to the pit of hell where you came from. You got to be, you can't just get it out of your child. You got to get it out your house. And don't send it to your next door neighbor either. You going to jump on Derek because Derek, he mean anyway. You can go on over and live in his house, but you can't live over here at 4315678910. That's an address in the spirit realm. That what he says will happen. This is the reason I urge you to boldly believe for whatever you ask for in prayer. Believe that you have received it. Believe, see, so it's not only if, it ain't healing is coming. No, healing is here. It ain't peace is coming. Peace is what? Here. It's here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Freedom. The Lord ain't coming to my house. The Lord lives in my house. This is God's house. I'm over inviting God to my house. This is your house. He invited me to my house. What's wrong with you? No. You must believe you have what? Received it. It's mine. Faith is the substance of things what? Hope for. Say it's mine. Come on, say it's mine. It's mine. And once you begin to stop letting the enemy talk you out of what's yours, you'll stop praying weak prayers. He's convincing you, that's not yours. Man, healing's not yours. Everybody got to die, right? Some people just got to be broke, right? No, that's not yours. I was born like this. No, that's not yours. That's not yours. That's not yours. And then we throw in, God gonna use this, so I got to go through it. No, you don't got to go through it. You got to come out of it. It's a big difference than got to go through something, than got to come out of something. The mindset of coming out and going through is two different things. Even the though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am coming out because I know it's only a shadow of death. Right? My mindset is a shadow. It's not death. It's just a what? Shadow. And some things appear much larger to you than they really are. David saw Goliath for who he was. And he saw God for who he was. He says, heaven will also release you and free. Hold on. This is the reason I urge you. It says, believe that you have received it and it will be what? Yours. Verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, this is crucial. If you find that you carry something in your heart against another person, release them and forgive them so that your Father, boom, in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. Ooh, Shaka Khan. But if you will not release forgiveness, don't expect your Father in heaven to release you from your misdeeds. He tells us, if you come asking for something and you're holding something in your heart against anyone, release it. Don't wait for the feelings of forgiveness. How do you ever get the feelings of forgiveness? One day, but you got to first what? Release them. Stop making people pay for hurting you. You have to release them. No. The difference is you don't stop making them pay by continuing to take abuse. You actually have to release them altogether and let God do a new work. Because as long as the person that hurt you is around for a season, they will be that thorn in your side that will continue to bring up those feelings and emotions. Now you're stuck trying to get over the feeling instead of getting the let me tell you that. I don't know who I'm talking. That person is a mountain. Sometimes people are mountains. That's why you're having trouble getting over it. And what the Lord say, don't climb it. Speak to it and release it. Because sometimes the mountain is in our own hearts. What mountains in your heart you have? And you come in here, hara shekarara budala. We praise you, God. And then we go out there, hot mess. Bitter, angry, messy, gossipy, double-mouthed, two-faced. And Lord say, you got anything, let it go. Because you become your own mountain. And one of the hardest mountains to move is yourself. Because you thinking you ain't no mountain. You think you a mountain climber. Unforgiveness, envy, and strife all empower and permit the devourer to destroy the harvest. I'm going to say it again. Unforgiveness, envy, strife, and anything related to it, they all empower and permit the devourer to destroy the harvest. Listen, God's love in your heart is essential to effective and producing prayers. The key to successful prayer, one of the keys to successful prayer is the love of God dwelling in your heart. Why are you praying this prayer? If we can learn to eliminate selfish motives in our prayer life, that's one key to successful prayer. Say to this mountain, I don't know who it is, I don't know who you are, but what is that mountain in your heart that you need to say right now, move? I give you a moment, write it down, say it under your breath. But what is that mountain that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you in your mind right now? All you have to say is one word, move now. In Jesus' name, I stand in agreement with you that it is done. Effective prayer requires specifics. 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 John 11. Say specifics. Remember, this mountain. Say this mountain. I want you to watch the master prayer warrior at work. When Jesus looked at Mary and saw her weeping at his feet and all her friends who were with her grieving, he shuddered with what? Emotion. And was deeply what? Moved with tenderness and compassion. Do you see what his emotion did? His emotion moved him towards compassion for a people. His emotions didn't determine his decisions. His emotions, what? Moved him. He said to them, where did you bury him? Huh? Where'd you bury him? Lord, come with us and we'll show you, they replied. Then tears streamed down Jesus' face. Oh, yes. Emotions. Emotions. Anywhere you see Jesus wept, you see Jesus' faith. His emotion moved him somewhere. Seeing Jesus weep caused many of mourners to say, look how much he loved Lazarus. Look how much he what? Loved. Look how much he what? Loved. Yet others said, isn't this the one who opens blind eyes? I would like for us to see this, and I would like for this to be our heart. If this scripture said, look how much they love Vancouver, that they were so moved that they would walk with Jesus by any means necessary to see Vancouver come alive for Jesus. Isn't this the one who opens blind eyes? Why didn't he do something to keep Lazarus from dying? Ain't he the miracle worker? Why he didn't do something then? Something to learn. While you pray, you have to have the ability to stand and wait on God without changing your prayer. That's very key. without changing your prayer. In a world that's always putting out new music every day, new movies every day, Netflix, you don't even know where to find a movie. You're just guessing. This looks good. So many options. Sometimes we treat our prayer life like, all right, well, maybe I'll say it like this. Well, maybe it's not what he want me to have, so I'll ask for this. And we're switching up all the time. He says, yet others said, isn't this the one who opens blind eyes? Why didn't he do something to keep Lazarus from dying? Then Jesus, with intense emotions, I want you to see this. Intense emotions do not mean being emotional. He has intense emotions about something very specific. That's why you don't see Jesus crying all the time. When you saw him mad, he was mad about something very specific. He couldn't be emotional having Lazarus on his squad. He had emotional disciples. But Jesus, in order to lead emotionalism, had to be stable. Everybody in the house can't be emotional. Everybody in leadership can't be emotional. And Jesus, with intense emotions, came to the what? Tomb. Uh-oh. He's went to a location. A cave with a stone placed over its entrance. Have you identified the entrance to your mountain? Where's the access that the enemy keeps getting? Why do you keep circling this mountain? What is the entrance, the access point? What's the button that keeps getting pushed? Why does this emotion keep popping up inside of me? Where's the entrance? If you can find the entrance, you can find the root. Jesus told them, roll away the blockage of the entrance. Roll away the blockage of the entrance. Is there anything that's blocking access to God getting to the depths of your heart? What's blocking you from having a strong prayer life, consistent prayer life? Is it busy? Is it work? Is it family? Is it kids? According to scripture, we have no excuse to not have a prayer life. Martha said, but Lord, it's been 4 days. How many days? 4 days since he what? Died. By now, his body is already decomposing. He's done. Jesus looked at her and said, didn't I tell you? Boy, didn't I tell you? Haven't we been here before? That if you will believe in me, you will see God unveil his what? Power. Say, Lord, unveil your power. But where? In what area of your life? How many times do we ask God, Lord, show us your glory? Where do you want his glory? Where do you need his glory? Where? The man said, look, Jesus, my house, don't come to my house, but if you send your word to my block. Oh. No, he says, send your word to my house. My servant shall be what? Healed. Where do you need God to move? What chains you need broken? Break every chain. Yeah, that's pretty general. Yeah, please break every chain. But we got some specific chains that need to be broken. Put a name to the chain. Chain gang. Put a name to the chain. So they rolled away the heavy stone. Jesus gazed into heaven and said, Father, thank you that you have heard my prayer. I love this. Before he started to pray, he said, thank you, you heard my prayer. See how he approached him? Thank you that you are prayer answering God. For you listen to every word I speak. You look how you listen to everything. So what I'm about to say, I already know that you hear me. And he says, thank you for answering. Now, so that these who stand here with me will believe that you have sent me to the earth as a messenger. Here you go. Sometime the Lord needs you to say some stuff that might make you look foolish. You know that he'll answer. But you can't pray that God proves something to somebody. You pray knowing God will do, already has, right? And he says, sent me to the earth. Here we go. I will use the power you have given me. Oh, Shekabah. He said, thank you for sending me as your what? Messenger. I will use the power you gave me. We're asking God more influence, more power, more of you in my life. More power, some more power, some more power in my life. And he's just more. And he's like, use what I've given you. I've always wanted to do that. I'm just for Effie was Black Lives Matter today. I know this name. We done with the song, but she kept it up. Like her fist was shaking. She, come on, Michael. Amen. I love you. Absolutely. I will use the power you have given me. Then with a loud voice, Jesus shouted with authority something very specific. And this is how our prayer life needs to be. He didn't say dead man rise. Because some folks he didn't want rising up probably would have got up. Why? Because he's using his authority. And when you understand the authority that you have, you will also be specific with what you have. No, you don't walk up and put gas in the tire. You put gas in the gas tank. You don't cook in a bowl. Well, I guess Top Ramen. But you use a pot, you use a skillet, you use fire. It's very specific. Birds need what? Air. To fly. Fish need water to swim. We need to be specific if we want results. Lazarus, look, he called him out of a place. Where's your confidence at? Is it buried somewhere? Where's your self-love? Is it buried somewhere? Where's forgiveness? Is it buried somewhere? And he says, come out. When we abandon to pray, we abandon to tend. We're closing. When we abandon to pray, we abandon to tend. Prayer is an essential for stewardship. Here we go. To steward is to govern. You have been given the access to govern. So arise. When you pray, you are governing. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. And then another scripture says, whatever you bound on earth is bound in heaven. When you pray, you're governing. When you're governing, you're stewarding. And the first thing he did in Genesis 1, he says what? Steward the earth. When you abandon to pray, you abandon to steward what you've been given authority over. And so you arise. Close Hebrews 4. When you understand that praying is stewardship, you see why he tells us to pray all the time. Because we're called to keep things in order. You, I, called to keep things in order. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned. To receive mercy's kiss and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. What did he say? We come boldly. You have access to not come to the throne as a beggar, but as a son. You have access to authority. You have access to power. And so we have to use our stewardship gift. Our stewardship gift is prayer. Prayer, I'll leave it here, is a gift. If the veil has been torn, what does that mean? He hears us. Prayer is not an option. Prayer is a gift. If you believe, give God a hand. Yeah. Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, the access to your heart, the access to your ears, the access to your throne room. Father, thank you that there's a fire ignited throughout today, that we will be faithful over the gift of prayer. We will be faithful over stewarding all that you have given us. Father, prayer is not an option. But I also believe, Father, it's not your heart that we pray grudgingly. So I thank you that we understand that you've given us this gift of prayer to release your presence, to release your will, and to release your power in this earth. And you can all join me praying. Why not? Lord, we be specific with our prayer. We be specific with our time. So we call fear out of the dungeon of our soul. And we say, you have to go now. We are not afraid of short life. We're not afraid of long life. We're not afraid of sickness. We're not afraid of, Lord, we say long life has been granted to your children. According to your word, you shall give us long life. That's what your word says in Psalm 91. With long life, you shall what? Satisfy me. And today we receive long life, and not long life full of ailments, but long life of satisfaction. Lord, we thank you that we age well. We thank you that we are strong and we are vibrant from the inside out in Jesus' name. We thank you that we walk in boldness, in confidence, in courage. We thank you for radically transforming all that have ears to hear. Bless every family here. Bless every father in here. Bless every mother in here. Bless every child in here, Lord God. I thank you that every address here becomes a house of prayer in Jesus' name. Every residence here becomes a house of prayer in Jesus' name. Set our residence on fire, Jesus. We thank you for it now in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Just lift your hands really quickly. Lift your hands really quickly. And let him sing over us. Let him sing. If we pray in the spirit, you can just pray and you can say thank you. If you're happy, release praises in the atmosphere. Just take a moment. Just take a moment. Lift your voices and give God some praise. 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 You are a healer. You are mighty. You are strong. You are a way maker. You are a comforter. You are the Lord of hosts. You fight our battles, Lord God. And we thank you. We're blessed from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, Lord God. We thank you. No matter what come, what may, Lord God, you are with us. And we thank you.
Thanks for joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTLChurch. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day. And in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.